Okay, so it is 9:30. I'm Elaine Genoway, Chair of the Orange County Senior Citizens Advisory Council, calling to order our February 19th, 2021 meeting. And this meeting is being recorded. So please keep yourself on mute so we don't reduce the sound quality. And we will begin the meeting with Jean Hernandez leading us with the inspiration, and then Elizabeth Busick with the Pledge of Allegiance. Jean.
All righty, let me grab my inspiration. And I don't mean my wife. Let me get my written one here.
That's a good one.
Okay, if you'll join me, we're going to say a prayer for our children's perseverance. Our children have to work extra hard to learn to do things that come naturally to so many others. Pray that they continue to continue in strength to learn and grow and experience victories, and that they would never tire of doing what is good. Thank you.
Hey, you ready for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Is that me too?
All right, so if everyone will stand, who can stand? Ready? Begin. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice
for all.
Okay, thank you, Jean, and thank you, Elizabeth. Yeah, it's so important to remember, we focus on seniors, but it's so important to remember that other end of the age spectrum and the youth in our community, and especially they are going through a lot now too with all the disruption with their school and their sports and their activities. So, you know, we need to be concerned about them as well. So thank you, Jean. Okay, so now Elizabeth will take the roll call so that we don't have delays with everyone muting and unmuting, please. So like a free for all. Unmute yourself, everybody. And then once your name is called, please go back and mute yourself. So thank you, Elizabeth, take it away.
All right. And Cecilia Aguinagua.
Present.
Tony Alabado. Linda Barcelona.
Present.
Laval Brewer.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick, present.
I'll call you back in a minute, okay?
Amelia Castro.
Here.
Meredith Chalimi.
Here.
Carol Downey.
Here.
Elaine Genoway.
Present.
Sherry Geyer.
Present.
Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Sherry Horn. She's at the mayor's, okay. Carolyn Inman.
Present.
Larry Kramer.
Here.
Tish Leone is absent. Jim Levy.
Present.
Philip Mandeville.
Present.
Nalita Mendoza.
Present.
Crystal Miles.
Present.
Patty Mouton.
Present.
Phil Orland.
Present.
John Pointer.
Present.
Tony Rodella. Barbara Sloat. Barbara Sloat. Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Sullivan.
Here.
Dave Tetzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Jeffrey Rodriguez. and Evelyn Velez Rosario.
Here.
Okay, Madam Chairman, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And as noted on your agenda, please be sure to send in your monthly senior hours to Elizabeth and then return to Carissa this stipend form when she sends that to you. As you know, it is a requirement of the Board of Supervisors that all SCAC members contribute at least 8 hours a month for senior services. And that's very easy to do because we're all working within the area of seniors or doing volunteer work. So please be sure to get those forms in. And we do have some new members with us today. I know last meeting we had a few new members and now we have three more new members. Two of them were appointed by the City Selection Committee. So I'd like to introduce them to you and ask them to say just one or two sentences about themselves, where they're from, what city, and maybe if they are currently doing work in the senior area or within their city, what that might be. So first we have Mayor Crystal Miles. Crystal, welcome to SCAC.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Nice to see all of you. I'm from Villa Park. We have about 25% of our residents fall into the category of seniors and have never really had somebody appointed to this position to represent our city and the whole entire District 3. So I'm really looking forward to it and excited. I see some familiar faces and very, very happy and excited to learn some new ones. So nice to meet you.
Welcome, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
And also a city selection appointee is Amelia Castro. Amelia, welcome.
Hello, thank you. I live in Anaheim, in Anaheim Hills. I'm also part of the Housing and Community Development Commission for the city. So we do a lot of outreach to seniors, you know, in that aspect. And I'm really looking forward to working with you guys and to making a difference for our seniors in the county.
Okay, well, we're glad to have you and
thank you.
Welcome to SCAC. Another new member is actually a returning member. I don't see her on right now. Maybe I'm missing her, is Denise Barnes. Denise, are you with us this morning? Denise was reappointed to SCAC by Supervisor Chafee. So she will be coming back and joining us to work for seniors. We also have some guests with us tonight, two of them, and specifically I'd like to introduce. One is Nancy Lee, who does quite a bit of volunteer work within her community and is interested in what SCAC does. And the other is Irene Martinez, and Irene works with Meals on Wheels. So welcome to our meeting today and welcome to all of our other guests. I see we have some standing committee members here as well. Okay, so now we have, we are ready for our presentation. So Jack, I promised you we'd get to you pretty quick. So Jean, would you like to introduce today's speaker?
Absolutely, it's my pleasure to introduce Jack Arati. Jack is an employee with the Orange County Transit Authority. And this is, I think Jack, did we have you here before, Jack? I think we did, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this will be my second time.
Okay, good. So you're an old seasoned vet at this.
Exactly.
And Jack is going to give us some insights on the transportation issues in our county and how they impact our seniors. And what are some of the trends? What's out there? We see a lot of the bus routes closing and are curious, are they going to open up again? Are they going to be changed? What's in the forecast? So a lot of interesting things transportation-wise are happening. So Jack, more than happy to hear you elaborate on that and feel free to run with it.
Thank you, Gene, and thank you, everyone. It's good to be here. Obviously, a very different circumstance from what we had last year. So we're hoping definitely to get back into a more a different environment and more closer environment as we kind of carry along these updates for you all. I do have someone else with me here today that'll be doing the presentation. Joanne Jacobson is our Senior Community Transportation Coordinator at OCTA. And she works hand in hand with the different cities for all of our programs, including our senior mobility program, our senior non-emergency transportation contract and the like. So she has a wealth of knowledge. So I will actually be just operating the presentation today. Joanne will be giving you all the good information and will definitely be available for questions at the end as well. And let me try to see if I could get this presentation up. Let me know if you guys are able to see that.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Wait, one more button.
There we go. You got it there, Jack.
Okay, perfect. So Joanne, go ahead and take it away here.
Okay. Good morning. Again, my name is Joanne Jacobson. I am the Transportation Community Director, and I am going to talk about several of the programs that I manage. Next slide, please, Jack. So the first program is our... And there are 32 cities out of the 34 in the county that participate, along with three nonprofit agencies. The funding comes through Measure M2, or also known as OCGO. So cities are paid bi-monthly based on the sales tax revenue and their population of 60 years and older. So for fiscal year 18-19, which ended June 30th of 2019, a little over $3,019,000 was distributed to the cities that year. The following year, fiscal year 1920, $3,047,000 was distributed to the cities. The SMP program provides local trips to residents 60 years and older. The SMP provides many types of trips for city residents based on their community need and the funding available. These trips include going to the senior center, medical trips, shopping trips, personal care, and social recreational. Also, to keep in mind, the majority of the senior centers provide nutrition programs, meaning that they take senior residents to the senior centers for the nutrition program daily. Next slide, please. So we wanted to show you the impact of the pandemic on the senior mobility program. And as you can see, starting in July of 2018, there was a high of a little over 27,000 trips that month in October. Then going towards later in the year, you can see how the pandemic has affected the senior mobility program. All senior centers were closed starting in mid-March, so you can see the big drop in trips provided. In fiscal year 18-19, a little over 275,000 trips were provided to our seniors in the county, with over 91,000 of those trips being nutrition program trips. Fiscal year 1920, a little over 193,000 trips were provided, with a little over 68,000 being nutrition trips. Keep in mind the drop being the pandemic started in mid-March, and this fiscal year ended June 30th. And then for this current fiscal year, we have numbers from July through December of 2020, 35,000 trips have been provided. Again, the largest number of trips are to the senior centers for their nutrition program. When the senior center closed, seniors were unable to receive their meals. Many senior centers had stopped providing trips altogether. And in the beginning of the pandemic, there were four SMPs that had totally shut down. Currently, there are three remaining that are closed. That means no trips to the senior center, no trips any place for our residents. Next slide, please. So we developed a response to the pandemic. First of all, I started receiving calls from cities concerned about their residents not being able to receive food. We do have the nutrition program where the SMP would go to the senior's house, pick them up, take them back to the senior center for lunch, and then bring them home again. There was no provision in the guidelines to change the nutrition program to take meals to their homes. So we went to the board asking for a temporary suspension of that guideline so cities were able to take meals to the seniors' homes. So that was approved by our board, and there are about 20 cities now that will take meals daily or bi-weekly to their cities for the lunch program. We also found that many cities were starting to be concerned about their funding. With SMP, the cities receive bi-monthly funding. They need to spend that funding within 3 years. So if they received a check in January, they have 3 years in which to spend that money. If they don't spend the money in the allotted 3 years, they need to return the leftover money with interest to OCTA. So we started becoming concerned that these cities weren't going to be able to spend their funding. So we went again to the board asking for a temporary suspension of bi-monthly funding to cities not providing services. So the board agreed. There were 4 cities that provided notice that they were not providing service. So we withheld their funding, and this was for their benefit so that they don't, their funding does not get backed up and then there's a problem spending their funding. Once the cities have resumed their service, they let us know, they send us a letter, and we release all funding within a week. So we've had one city so far that sent the letter, they have resumed service, so they have received all of their funding. Next slide, please. So another program that we manage is, I know a lot of you are familiar with the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation, also known as SNEMT. OCTA's Measure M2 helps to fund the county operated program, and it's also funded with tobacco settlement revenue. There are 2 providers in the county. There's Abrazar in the north and the central, and there's AgeWell in South County. Now, keep in mind the SNEMT has continued to provide trips during the pandemic. Next slide, please. And this graph shows you the impact of the pandemic. So in the first quarter of 19, a little over 38,000 trips provided to seniors in the county. And as you look down the graph, you can see the large drop in trips due to the pandemic. In fiscal year 18-19, again ending June 30th of 2019, a little over 146,000 trips were provided. Fiscal year 19-20, a little over 114,000 trips provided. And for this fiscal year, we have 40,000 trips provided. Keep in mind, this program has continued to run. One of the reasons for decline is that many doctor's offices are now offering virtual medical appointments. So a lot of the seniors we have found are taking advantage of not having to leave their homes, but they're able to do their appointments over the phone. Next slide, please. Then we manage five adult day healthcare agreements. We have 5 agreements to provide transportation for OC Access eligible participants from their homes to their day programs. The 5 agencies with agreements with OCTA are Acacia, Alzheimer's Family Service Center, Alzheimer's OC, Community Senior Serve, and My Day Counts. So OCTA reimburses each agency $16.22 per trip, and the agency pays the remaining cost, which must be at least 20% of the total trip cost. The fully burdened cost of 1 OC Access trip in fiscal year 20 was $48.16. So these agreements save OCTA a large amount of money, and the day program participants receive more personalized transportation as everyone on the vehicle is going to the same place and drivers are generally knowledgeable about the passengers because they take the same people every day. So all the facilities have been closed since mid-March. They do provide virtual services, but none of the facilities have been opened since mid-March. Next slide, Jack. So this graph shows you the impact on the ADHC agreements. And you can see the huge drop in April, and it's flat since April as no trips are being provided. And again, there is no update as to when these programs will start up again, but they are providing virtual trips, just no transportation to their facilities. Next slide, Jack. So in conclusion, we're in constant communication with all of these agencies, and it's important to note that these programs have not stopped running during the pandemic. Transportation does continue to be provided, and OCTA will continue to support these programs moving forward. They are a vital link to keeping seniors healthy and engaged in their communities. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions.
I have a question. What city was it that requested their funds that they started service again?
Anaheim.
Okay.
Anaheim now has a contract with ATN to provide their senior services or their senior transportation program.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Cecilia, do you have a question? I see your hand raised. You're on mute.
Okay. I'm planning to visit the site in Santa Ana, the senior citizen. I was very active with them on and off. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm belong to this committee, I really want to go and see what's going on and what the needs are. I noticed that I wasn't introduced. I don't know, I'm a little confused. I participate in the transportation meeting, but this is a different meeting, right? This is a council. So I just want to know.
You were introduced at our last meeting, Cecilia. So do you have a question for Joanne?
She called me whenever she have a chance, we will talk about the needs. I need to go visit the center first before I talk to her.
Senior center?
Yeah, in Santa
Okay.
Ana.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That'll be so nice, Joanne. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Cecilia. Phil Mandeville?
Joanne, yes. This might be a silly question, but how do you advertise or how do people know what you do, because I think what you do is very important, but mm-hmm. How does the word get out so that the seniors can take advantage of your programs?
With the senior mobility program, each city has their own program, and they are the ones that do the advertising for it, because each program is for their residents only, and each program varies a little bit, so the senior center generally advertises via like their parks and recreation book, flyers, any type of city announcements, they're advertised that way.
And Phil, just to add a little bit more to your question is that we also have information on OCTA's website that'll link up folks to their specific need or city regarding either the senior mobility program or the senior non-emergency medical transportation. So information on that is always available for individuals as well. We provide regular updates to the Special Needs Advisory Committee that's part of OCTA. So there's some other avenues that we take as well.
And if you go on our website, the SMP has their own page, and each city is listed on the website. And if you click on that city, it will give you a description of their program.
So you have to have a computer to participate.
Not necessarily. That's just to give you information. But if you go to the senior center.
Yeah, you can call the senior center and mm-hmm. They would be able to provide information as well.
They're closed down at the present, but that's okay.
But you can still call because they work there. So you can still get information. They are still working in the facility, just not having residents come in.
Okay. I have a question for Jack. This is Phil Orland.
Hey, go ahead, Phil.
do you interface with discharge planners to provide people getting out of the hospital, trips home, or, you know, to a loved one when they're coming out of the hospital?
So you're saying services from the hospital or services out of the hospital to get home?
Yeah, when they're being discharged, or say they need transportation to a nursing facility. Most of the time people return home, but if they don't have somebody to take them, do you work with a discharge planner?
Joanne, do you know of any services?
No, I don't.
I can't think of any.
No.
But, you know, that's a very good question, something that we could definitely look at in terms of, you know, what services are available so that we can, you know, potentially even just link it up in our resource book and make it available. You know, we do have another form of information gathering source, I guess, that folks can always call, you know, either through the OC 211 service. So what we've done is we've linked up with a couple of different counties to basically be a one-stop shop for individuals to get their transportation needs answered. And that extends beyond services that are provided by OCTA. So you're talking about, you know, private institutions that have services, and there's a phone number that you can call, and maybe what I can do is I think it's 211, right? Just by itself, right?
Right, just 211.
So you can either call 211, or you can use, if there's access to a computer for, you know, someone, the loved one or someone else to do it for you, you can link up to the website as well. All you have to do is answer a couple questions so that they can make sure they categorize you to the right transportation source that meets your need. So there are those options available as well. So that might be a potential way to get that transportation out of discharge. But very good question. We'll definitely take a look into that for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Phil. That's good information we can use. Okay, Gene Hernandez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jack and Joanne, good job, by the way, good information. And to our group present, if you want to get more involved with transportation, senior issues and whatnot, there is an opening now on OCTA for a community member due to the passing of one of our former community members. And I don't, what's the deadline on that, Jack? Do you know by any slim chance?
I don't, but after my presentation, I'll hang on. I'll look for the information. I'll be able to get it for you.
Yeah, so I know now you can apply for that. So if you're interested in joining OCTA's the authority, you would have direct input on traffic issues, particularly as it pertains to seniors, which is always welcome. Our member that passed away, actually, he was handicapped, had those kinds of issues. So he was able, Greg Winterbottom, so he was able to directly provide information for those that had special needs as it pertains to transportation. So really good, valuable input. And these are just average regular citizens who want to get involved. So I just throw that out there.
Okay. Thank you, Gene. And to our members who want more information, please reach out to Gene Hernandez because he is on the OCTA board and can provide that for you. Sherry Geyer, do you have a question? I see your hand up. Sherry Geyer?
You're muted, Sherry.
There I am.
Now no, I don't have a question.
Right. I don't have a question, but I do have some input about the transportation with discharges from a hospital. And it's generally the hospital's decision that they don't allow patients to leave without a designated family or friend, that they have their phone number, et cetera. I tried to ask if I could take transportation from something that required transportation, but it was really very minor. And I was told by the hospital that, I said, well, I am an RN. They said, well, we can't have our drivers taking any responsibility. And I said, well, they wouldn't know what to do. And I assured them that my husband wouldn't know what to do either. So I think it might might come someday, but right now I don't think it's in place.
Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for that input. Okay, any final questions for Jack or Joanne? Okay, I don't see any. So thank you so much for being here today with us. We appreciate you sharing this information. And how seniors are being served and the changes that the COVID pandemic have had on senior transportation. So we look forward to the day when we have our seniors zipping all over their city. So, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will be sure to reach out to you if we have any more questions, because I know sometimes after a presentation like this, someone will think of something. So, but thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you. Good job.
For having us. And we'll look forward to maybe another presentation. We could provide some insights on that 211 tool that I think is very helpful for folks.
Okay, great. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, Elizabeth Busick.
Will we get, will Carissa send us this PowerPoint so we can refer to it?
I don't have it, Jack. If you can send it to me, I can send it to everyone.
Okay, sure thing. I'll do that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now we are on to item number 7, which is public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Carissa, do we have any public comments or any requests to speak?
We do not.
We do not. Are there any members of the public present who would like to speak to SCAC? Seeing none, public communications is now closed, and we are on to item number 8, chair comments. So as you all know, we did send a letter to the Board of Supervisors regarding the needs of seniors during the COVID pandemic and things that we saw as being more urgent and timely needs. And that action was taken by the executive board on behalf of SCAC because of the timeliness of it. We felt we needed to get it to the Board of Supervisors rather than waiting a month to bring it to SCAC and then to the full council. But we have received tremendous support from all of you responding to us and appreciating that the board did send that letter. Some of you have asked whether or not the Board of Supervisors has replied. Usually how these things work is we send the letter and, you know, let them know what our concerns are. And a letter is not sent directly back, but we see it in actions that are taken. So what has happened in our request, one of the items that we did point out a need for was a toll-free number for seniors to be able to make appointments for their COVID vaccines, because this is something we keep talking about, this digital divide where we still have a number of seniors who do not use computers. And it was very difficult for them to be able to schedule appointments. And also their family members were having difficulty because they would register them, but you had to have a unique email address. And if you used your own email address to register someone else, you couldn't use it for yourself. And then you had to go get another email address, go to Gmail or somewhere. So that was one of the needs that we pointed out was the need for a toll-free number for seniors. So they do have stood up a call center for seniors to call, and they have also staffed it with extra staff to provide bilingual support. So there are people there who do speak other languages to be able to serve the seniors from the many different demographics we have within the county. So that is up now, up and running. So, and the other item was we were urging the Board of Supervisors to pursue the promised or support for cities and counties and states that the new administration was talking about. So that's something that we are urging them to pursue because there's been a lot of talk, but we want to see it actively pursued so it does come back to Orange County. So that's the status of that. And I, the board and I do appreciate your support in our request to the Board of Supervisors. The next item, Carol.
Where can you get the toll-free number? What site do you go to find that?
I'll let Erica cover that in her report.
Okay.
I don't want to give out incorrect information.
Okay.
You know, one thing about me, you'll know, because I'm a financial advisor, I don't memorize numbers because numbers change all the time. So I go look them up. So, but the other thing in my chair comments I wanted to bring up to you is that we know that as SCAC members over time, you form friendships and relationships, and that's something we've been missing out on since we're not meeting in person. So what we're going to do starting next month is open the Zoom room. This is the Zoom room where you all are right now, a half hour early. So if you want to come in, log in and see who's there and chat before the meeting. This is like a half hour before the meeting, purely voluntary. It's just for you to catch up with your friends, and then we will start the meeting on time. So we're not starting the meetings earlier. We're just providing you with the opportunity if you would like to socialize with some of the other SCAC members. And again, that's purely voluntary, but I know some of you, I am seeing some thumbs up, so good. I know you miss each other and we miss you too, so good. All righty. On to old business, we've talked about our target dates for our SCAC goals. Just want to remind you of what some of them are. So next month at this meeting, instead of having a speaker, it will be our workshop. And that's where the work of SCAC is done. This is where the work, what you've been doing in your standing committees, all bubbles up to we then work together as SCAC to provide our input to the Board of Supervisors on what the priorities for Orange County senior citizens are in the next 2 to 5 years. So, and when we are in our work groups, we will have a mix of standing committees and different representations. So we do have each smaller group does have a very robust and full conversation. But from that workshop, we will then take what all the input all of you will provide, bring it back to you at the April meeting for SCAC approval. Then we will deliver it to the Board of Supervisors on May 11th. And this is to remind that May is Older Americans Month. So we felt that was very significant that we, the representatives of the older Americans in Orange County, deliver this to the Board of Supervisors during Older Americans Month. So just giving you, putting everything into context, what our time frame is. And that's it for me for right now. I think I've talked enough, and I will turn it over to Erica, who is our Director of Aging and Veteran Services. So Erica, take it away.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Great to see all of you. Just a few quick updates for the Office on Aging. I know the COVID vaccine is at the top of everyone's minds lately. I don't have a whole lot to report that's changed from last month, but as you all know, the county has the super pods that they've stood up. So the one at Disneyland and the one at SoCa, and I'm not sure if you saw the announcement that the Anaheim Convention Center will be the third super pod for the county. And starting February 24th, those that receive their first dose at Disneyland will automatically be diverted to the Anaheim Convention Center for their second dose. And that's just simply for capacity and making sure that the Anaheim Convention Center can accommodate a lot more. So they're going to divert people over to get their second dose there if you got your first dose at Disneyland. And then the next effort is the medium-sized pods. The first one is actually started this week at Santa Ana College. And the medium-sized pods are vaccination sites that aim to vaccinate 1,000 people per day. So the super sites are several thousand, the medium pods would be about 1,000. And then the third effort is the mobile pods. And those are the smaller points of distribution that are actually happening inside the communities. It could be at a senior center, it could be at a community center, but it's really looking at that vulnerable index and making sure that the vaccine is addressing equity issues and getting into the vulnerable communities that have been disproportionately impacted by COVID. So there's several factors that determine where these mobile pods get scheduled. The first one would be age, of course, housing density, whether or not there is comorbidity issues, if there's, disability, you know, and overlay that with COVID rates. So just taking a look at multiple factors and then determining a risk score is really how they're planning where these mobile pod locations are going to be. And the way I understand it is that mobile pods are not even being scheduled out beyond 2 weeks at a time. And that simply is because of supply and demand issues. So cities really are anxious to know whether or not they're going to be identified for a mobile pod, and they want to plan and lock in dates and so on and so forth. And the county just really isn't able to commit to anything beyond 2 weeks right now, simply because of that supply issue. Supply and demand is one of the biggest challenges still. And I'm sure with all of you have heard the severe weather has been impacting the supply issues as well for Orange County doses. So just a lot of different challenges, but I think someone mentioned earlier this morning, you know, the county is not the only option for getting a COVID vaccination. There are other larger health plans like Kaiser, UCI, Memorial Care, also some of the pharmacies like CVS and the VA. All of those entities have received their own allocation of vaccine. So definitely, you know, explore all your options. And I know Kaiser, you don't even have to be a Kaiser member in order to get a vaccination from Kaiser. I'm not sure about the other health systems, but I know that there is the exception with Kaiser. And like Elaine mentioned, the county has stood up a call center for assistance with registering for a COVID vaccine. And this is particularly for seniors that don't have access to technology or an email address. So that phone number is 714-834-2000. And that is 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it is a phone tree. So it doesn't go directly to a person that is knowing that someone is calling because they need assistance with registration for a vaccine. There's automated information. And then there's a phone tree that you can press the option if you need assistance over the phone with making an appointment for your vaccination. So you'll have to kind of go through the menu of options a little bit. I see Carol has a hand up.
Erica, do you know how soon they'll be having send out the notices on the rescheduling at the Anaheim Convention Center? Because mine was one of the second shots that was due, and I have to go, I guess, to the Anaheim Convention Center. Do you know how soon they'll be getting those out? Because they were really, really slow in getting out the original rescheduling information, or that they weren't going to be there.
It's my understanding that the Anaheim Convention Center option is not going to be starting until after February 24th. So that's just a few days from now. Definitely keep an eye on your email because you may be updated with the location of where you're supposed to go. If you don't hear anything, you have your vaccination card, correct? From when you got your first dose.
Yes.
So you could arrive to Anaheim even without an appointment because you've got the day that you're supposed to get your vaccine, and it's time sensitive. So you don't want too many days to go by, and they don't want too many days to go by for you not to get your second dose. So you can show up.
would reschedule everybody and send them out of time. That was my understanding.
They will. I'm just saying that if you don't receive something after the 24th, your best bet is just to arrive with your vaccination card.
Okay. Thank you.
Question for Erica. This is Phil. Erica, I have a question regarding the VA. Are VA locations unique and do not, unlike Kaiser, accept the general public? And are there VA locations throughout Orange County that a veteran can go to?
So it's my understanding that the VA allocation of vaccine, you're correct, it's only for veterans that have their VA healthcare. So it's not open to the general public. And the only location right now is in Long Beach, and they are offering a drive-through option. I know that they're looking to expand at some of the VA health clinics in Orange County. It just hasn't happened yet, but I know they are working on it.
Yeah, I've received a newsletter, FYI, from the VA, and they said they were going to try to get 600,000 doses out per month. So I think they're well on their way to do that. But if you're a veteran and you have to get your second dose, can you show them your first dose card and get the second dose at the VA?
Thank you, Phil. Now let's Erica finish her report because she may have some information that we're asking questions about. So go on, Erica.
Okay, thank you. So that's all I have for vaccine. I wanted to touch a little bit on senior nutrition. As you know, that's been another hot topic throughout the pandemic and making sure that nutrition support services are provided for seniors so that they can remain safely at home. And we've been lucky enough to have a significant amount of CARES funding that provided some new programs that we never had before, like Great Plates and some of the Nutrition Gap funding. But of course, all that ended when the CARES Act funding ended in December. The board did approve an extension with County General Fund for their Nutrition Gap services, and that was to the tune of $1 million, $200,000 per district. But that $200,000 didn't go very far, so most of those Nutrition Gap services have all come to an end or are winding down this week. The good news is that for seniors that still need ongoing nutrition support, the Office on Aging received our own allocation of CARES Act funding from the California Department of Aging for nutrition support services. So the Title III home delivered meals and all the grab and go meals at the senior centers, they are serving at increased rates and will continue to do so. And they are properly funded because the CARES Act money that we receive from the state, that doesn't expire until September of 2021. So we're able to continue to serve at those higher levels. And for seniors that were participating in another service like Great Plates or the Nutrition Gap services, they are being transitioned over to some of those Title III options if they need ongoing support. Any questions at all about nutrition before I wrap up a couple more updates?
Okay, I see John Pointer. John, you have your hand raised.
I just wanted Erica to repeat the phone number one more time. Erica, the 714 number.
Oh, sure. 714-834-2000.
And I didn't hear all of Carol's comment, but I was scheduled for Disneyland tomorrow. I've been rescheduled to Anaheim on the 26th. So Carol, the information's getting out there. So just an FYI.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
That's good to know.
Okay, Carolyn Inman has her hand raised.
At our Housing and Transportation Committee meeting this month, during the report on the senior, I forget the acronym, but the non-emergency rides, that now includes a ride to get a shot, which was not a normal thing that they would have done, but that so people can use that for that purpose.
Absolutely. Thank you for that reminder. And given that our presentation was on transportation, I think it's important to mention that for those of us that are trying to help seniors register, if you're working with your senior centers that are getting calls about seniors that have an appointment, but they don't have any transportation, wow, you can refer to those senior non-emergency medical transportation providers, which would be AgeWell in the cities from Irvine South, and then Abrazar for Central and North County. And those trips are eligible for vaccine. And so even if someone lives in South County and they happen to get their appointment at Disneyland or Anaheim Convention Center, they can still use that transportation service to travel from South County to North County and vice versa. Okay, just a couple more updates, bear with me. I wanted to mention we are working through the master plan for aging that the state released in January. So Orange County, we've established an internal work group with all the county departments that provide programs for older adults. So that is the Office on Aging under OC Community Resources. Also, the healthcare agency provides behavioral health services and medical services for older adults. And then the social services department that operates adult protective services and in-home support services. So we are coming together to talk about the implications of the master plan for aging on Orange County and really determining how Orange County can improve our service coordination. Because right now we are a very fragmented county when it comes to older adult services. And so there's definitely some opportunity under the master plan for aging to talk more about service integration and coordination so that we're not duplicating services and that clients aren't having to go through three different intakes just to receive services from the county. So we're talking about what that means, what the implications are. And the nice thing is that it's sort of in line with the CEO's 5-year strategic financial plan timing. So the county is really wanting to make sure that services for seniors is well funded and that there is money in the budget over the next 5 years to be able to meet the demand, because we know this population is growing tremendously and at a fast rate. And so it's nice to see that in many aspects, seniors are last, but right now the master plan for aging has gotten the attention of Orange County for sure, and seniors are first. So we're gonna take advantage of this timing and make sure that we're well supported by the Board of Supervisors and the CEO's office to ensure that there's adequate funding to meet this demand.
And last month you were all sent the links to the master plan on aging. So if you haven't had a chance to look at that yet, please do so now, because it's important that we're all very familiar with what that covers. There's a lot of things that it encompasses, so we all should be familiar with that. Sherry Horn, you have your hand raised.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask Erica, we've been hearing a lot about the increased need for mental health services for young people. I was wondering if there's been an increase in demand for mental health services for seniors?
Funny you should ask, because that has been a topic of conversation for sure with the healthcare agency and even with the opening of the Be Well facility in Orange County. There is a lot of attention on seniors and mental health services, particularly when we talk about isolation and depression that has been exacerbated by COVID. So that is definitely something that we are keeping at the forefront and talking with the healthcare agency about.
Thank you, Erica. Patty Mouton.
Thank you. Erica, is it possible that you could include a representative from the Orange County Strategic Plan for Aging and the Orange County Aging Services Collaboration on the work group for the master plan? Because our groups are also working on
dissecting and looking at the master plan for aging. And we actually have recently planned an event for October with elected officials on progress for the master plan for aging. So it'd be great if we were all working in concert.
I agree. And that is definitely a coming attraction. We're talking about, you know, who the stakeholders are that need to be at the table. I think we want to make sure that we have ourselves organized first and know what we're doing as a county, and then start to bring in those other entities to be part of the larger conversation. So definitely a coming attraction.
Okay. Well, we'd like to have, of course, the Office on Aging participate in an event that highlights the Master Plan for Aging and what Orange County's plans are. So I'll shoot you an email and we can confer.
That sounds great.
Thank you. I saw a couple of, and I don't know if they're hands that went up or flies being swatted. Cynthia Thacker, did you have a question? Jeffrey Rodriguez. No?
Question? No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. And Jeffrey didn't either.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. So I think that's it for Erica's report. Very, very thorough. Lots of information. I don't know how you do it all, but this is where, you know, we get all the information of what's going on. So Erica, you're going to talk about the March workshop.
Excuse me, Elaine,
I have a question.
Yes, it's very important for Erica.
Oh, you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you didn't see my hand?
No, well, it's been up the whole time. I thought you forgot to take it
down. No, yeah.
Okay.
Just a quick question, because
Okay, what's your question?
Thank you. Since being announced that I'm in the in this position, helping the elderly, so I've been receiving phone calls, and who should I talk to, or what phone call when people's been abused on the homes? Like, you know, when they take the people to the homes, either for a rehabilitation or they live there and they've been abused. I say, I'm gonna ask, because I don't know who's in charge of that, or how can we help these people?
I'll have to get back to you with the phone numbers because I don't have those in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. But I think you're referring to when abuse or neglect occurs in a licensed facility.
Perfect.
That's the Orange County Ombudsman Program, and that is operated through the Council on Aging. So I can get back to you with that phone number.
I really appreciate it. You got my number, right?
I think I might have your email, so I'll email it to you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. Any last questions before Erica starts talking about our March workshop? Okay. So if you're not muted, please mute yourself so we have good sound quality. Erica, continue, please.
Okay. So moving on to talk about our March workshop. So this is something that usually takes place every year with SCAC. We do an offsite. And it is a working meeting where we talk about the goals and priorities of SCAC for the coming year. And like Elaine mentioned, that would be presented to the Board of Supervisors. And this year, the goal is to have something to present to them during their May meeting to coincide with Older Americans Month. And so obviously things are a little bit different this year with COVID. So we're not at a beautiful park site or overlooking the ocean to do our offsite. We'll be doing it via Zoom, but we hope to make it meaningful and worthwhile. And like I said, productive working morning. So the tentative plan is to open up the Zoom room, like Elaine said, about a half an hour early. So if people want to just bring their coffee and say hello and network, that's fine. We encourage you to do that. And then we'll start promptly at 9:00. I think Elaine is going to invite Supervisor Bartlett to do a welcome and some opening remarks. And then we would like to give SCAC a presentation, an overview of California's Master Plan for Aging. It is a very thick document with several hundred pages, so we won't go over it in too much detail, but I think it would be helpful for SCAC to just understand what the five overarching goals are for the master plan and some of the objectives that fall under that, that we could start taking a look at as a council. And we're going to include some updated demographic information regarding seniors in Orange County. And I'll be inviting a couple of my team members that work on our data collection and reporting for the state to help me with that presentation. And then we are trying to have a presenter talk about seniors and technology. There is a program or company that I was just introduced to called Get Set Up. And it is a company that hires seniors to be able to provide training to seniors on how to use technology and navigate different applications and, you know, how to use a tablet and all that kind of good stuff. So it's for seniors by seniors. So we're hoping to have a presentation from that company as well. And the reason being is that we are looking at the master plan and not only figuring out what are some of the low-hanging fruit that we can focus on in the coming year, but what is some underlying themes that are going to still be around and important post-COVID. And one of the major things that we've been talking about at the state level and also in Orange County is how to bridge that digital divide and really looking at technology to reduce isolation, to ensure that seniors have access to affordable technology and have the capacity to be able to navigate technology, because we know that even post-COVID, a lot of the senior center programming is still going to be virtual, and seniors are going to be fearful to re-enter into the community because they've been at home for so many months, right? And so really looking at technology and how we can expand that and ensure that everyone that needs to have access to technology does, really looking at how we in Orange County can develop like a tablet loaner program. The state is really focused on that too. And so it's our understanding that they're going to be sending that to counties that opt in, so we can develop a program where seniors can borrow and check out tablets or laptops or what have you. So those are some of the key themes that we want to focus on in this offsite, is really teeing that up with the idea of the master plan in mind. And after we talk about that from a more global perspective, we would like for SCAC to break out into smaller groups. So Carissa will be driving the Zoom to where we have smaller teams, and I'll send out a list of everybody that is on which team. I think we're gonna have four different groups. So we'll have about 7 or 8 members in each group, and you'll be given some questions, and it will be, you'll have a facilitator that's assigned to your smaller group. And you'll have you know, X amount of time to work through those questions and come up with your priorities and how it really ties into the overall theme. And then after the small group discussions, we'll come back together as a larger group and see if we can come up with maybe 3 to 5 priorities and goals and recommendations that we can work on as a council over the next year. Did I cover everything, Elaine?
I think so. So thank you for that. And we're looking forward to the workshop. You know, for those of you who are at our last workshop, I don't know about you, but what I was amazed at is how we broke into different groups. And when we all got together, we pretty much identified the same priorities, but we had different reasons for those being our priorities. So we had the same priorities, but we had different perspectives on it. And that really, I think, enriched the conversation and really gave credibility to what we were presenting to the Board of Supervisors. So we're looking forward to the workshop. Bring your A game. This is where we do the work, but also too, I know we have many new members. Don't feel overwhelmed or intimidated. We want your input too. And your input is, you are members of our community. So maybe you haven't been on a standing committee for a while, or maybe you don't work as a professional in the senior services space, but you are a member of the community and you have valuable input too. So we'd like to be sure that everybody is there, and just look forward to having a robust conversation on how the seniors in Orange County can be best served over the next few years. And as Erica pointed to the Master Plan on Aging, it's even more important now than ever that you do take a look at those documents that you were sent, and they're pretty easy reading. So an email will be going out as we get closer to it, asking for your, where are you going to be that morning of the workshop? Because there may be some materials for the workshop that we will be delivering to you that morning. So we're not sure if you'll be at home or if you'll be at, I don't know, your child's apartment or mother's house or friend's house, but wherever you're going to be that morning, we will be asking you for that. So I don't know, are there any questions regarding the workshop? I don't see any hands going up. Okay, good. So we're all set. We're all ready for
a workshop. Carolyn had it. Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Okay, how the committees have been working on possible long-term goals. How do they fit into this plan, which is more targeted?
Well, the standing committee members will be distributed amongst the four groups. So that's input that they're going to be bringing. So in the conversations. Okay. And
Okay, because I sent them last night, we had finished, and I sent them to everybody. So they should just have those and just.
Yeah, they'll have those as part of the conversation, and I'll be sure that the facilitators get it as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Dave Tetzlaff.
Did I hear that the meeting's starting at 9:00?
Yes, we're starting a half hour early because we've got so many good things to do.
Okay, so we're starting,
the meeting itself will be starting a half hour early. And as you noticed, when you read today's agenda for the next meeting, the 9 a.m. is in big print, so you can't miss it. So, which means, remember, we're having the half hour early for social. The Zoom room will open at 8:30 for whoever wants to have coffee with their friends, but then the meeting itself will start at 9. Okay, any other questions on the workshop?
I just wanted to mention, when Carissa sends out the information for a SCAC meeting, you all get a unique sign-in or link because we use a webinar feature. But for the March workshop, we're not gonna be able to do that because we need to use one main Zoom link so that she can do the breakout classrooms. So just know that you're not going to be getting that unique link for March. You're going to be getting the same Zoom information that everyone gets for the one meeting.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Okay, so moving on from item number 10 on our agenda to item number 11, the Senior Center Liaisons. Cynthia Thacker, tell us about that.
Okay, hi everybody. I'm honored to be in this position, and in your packet, you now have an updated SAC liaison to senior center appointments for the 2021. And again, I wanna thank Elaine for helping this newbie here. Make sure the assignments for your senior centers were not across town or anything like that. So I'm sure that most of us have kind of the same one. So. Hopefully that you'll look at this liaison center list and with the senior centers and maybe be contacting them within the next month. Most of us kind of know that and I've already been familiar with it, but the new people, hopefully you'll introduce yourself and kind of get a rapport with them. If you'll notice, well, you will notice that I decided that instead I have two documents, one with all the phone numbers and emails, I put it with their name, all the information. So we have just kind of one document now to make it easier. I know for me, it's easier. And so I just wanted to, I don't think anybody has any questions, but if Elaine, did I miss anything? But I just hope that I know. I want to refer to also your liaison guidance list for us newbies. It will kind of explain things, what thing you need to do for it. So if you have any questions, and Elaine, did I miss anything?
No, thank you, Cynthia, for putting it, you know, all together on one list. See, it's so much better when someone else looks at it. So thank you for doing that. So for our newer members, the senior center liaisons, you are the connection between SCAC and the senior centers in your community. So it is to be when we send out the invitation flyers, getting that to the senior centers, let them know that there's a person for them to communicate with if they have any concerns about senior services that we should be looking at or addressing, that you are that connection. So you're the communication point between SCAC and the senior centers. Now we don't have, we have more senior centers in the county than we do SCAC members. So some of you are asked to cover more than one senior center. And then some cities have more than one senior center, but each city operates a little bit differently. Some may prefer to have one contact for all three senior centers, and some may prefer that each center be contacted individually. So you'll need to see, you know, what is that city's preference? And then some cities have more than one person in that city, more than one SCAC member. And so for those, it's for those SCAC members to work together on who is doing what. So we've tried to keep you at the centers you had previously because you've established that relationship. Did have to make some movement around, but an updated list will be sent out post-meeting. It doesn't change any of the assignments, but the Mission Viejo contact has changed. And then if you have any changes with the contact information, let Cynthia know so that she can update that list. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. But this is how that link is created between the senior centers in your city and SCAC. So are there any questions regarding that? Elizabeth. You're muted, Elizabeth.
Just wanted to be sure Cynthia got the email about the change for the Mission Viejo contact.
Right. So we'll be sending out a new list, but everyone else can get started on theirs because that's the only update we're aware of so far is the contact for Mission Viejo. I saw Jeffrey. Did you have your hand up?
It was similar to what Elizabeth was asking. Is a new list will go out once they're updated, or will it just be at the time that we have our monthly meetings so that we don't have these constantly going out?
Well, we try to minimize the amount of emails that are sent. So you will be getting after this meeting, maybe not today, but pretty soon you will be getting an email that will have the updated list that will have, and also some documents from Erica as well. So we will be putting all of those on one. The senior center list update, it shouldn't be changing that often. So, and when it is, it usually just affects one city, but we like to make sure everyone has the most current list. Cynthia.
So that's why we won't have to send out numerous times every time, because most of the time it just affects the person that knows about it. So but I mean, because sometimes if we get too many emails, I agree that we can get lost in transits. And so, yeah, we'll keep it to a minimum, but most of the changes are really going to affect the person that's, you know, involved with that senior center.
Yeah. So if anyone knows of you received the list in your agenda packet. So please take a look at that. And if there is an update or correction, let us know right away so we only need to send that updated list once. Okay, I don't see any other questions. Okay, thank you, Cynthia. And like I said, please be sure to reach out to us if you have any questions. And let's see, we are on to item number 12, Jean, standing committees. Where is Jean Hernandez? Did Jean drop off?
Yep. No, I'm here.
There you are. Okay. Take it away, Jean, standing committees.
Well, I had a great opportunity to visit all the standing committees, some I haven't been to before, and I was very impressed, especially with the health and welfare committee. That was, Cecilia, where are you at?
I'm right here.
Why don't you want to give a brief overview of that? It was very impressive. They have a very active and a large group and had some really good information they disseminated.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm sorry. No, I'm talking.
That was my first.
Health and nutrition is Meredith.
Meredith, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. It was Meredith I was talking to. Where is Meredith? I know I saw her on here.
Here I am.
Oh, there you are, Meredith. Take it away, kiddo. You want to give a brief overview there?
Yes. So we did have a wonderful time together. And Jean, we really appreciate you attending. It was great to have your input and guidance. We first heard from Patty Mouton, and she talked to us about the Alzheimer's OC COVID plus memory care unit at Fairview and encouraged us to dispense the information. They do have openings available. So if you know of people even 18 and up that are COVID positive that need to quarantine or need care, please send your referrals to Patty. And then we had a great link from Phil Orland. Thank you, Phil, to invite Bonnie Hayden from the American Heart Association Community Programs. So she spoke to us about heart attack warning signs for both men and women, stroke attack warning signs for men and women. We had a discussion on cholesterol, hypertension, and other things that are impacting health outcomes. And then she also talked about the community impact programs that the American Heart Association is able to influence, and all of their virtual programming that's now available as they've pivoted during the pandemic. After that, we heard from our very own Dave Sullivan about dental hygiene, and we talked about the connection between dental hygiene and heart health. And also he reminded us about some very good habits with flossing and brushing and how to make sure that we're doing those things. We did have a roundtable.
I gotta say, Meredith, we were smiling at that because Dave's background was this big mouth with teeth, and these teeth infected were in real teeth. Bad shape. So hopefully nobody ate lunch before they saw this.
Yes, that was definitely a highlight. Very fun. Then we talked about getting ready for our March meeting. We had some discussions about the digital divide and the missing middle. And we talked about the need to publicize our 1-800-510-2020 number so that more people are using that, especially for people that are struggling with the digital divide and also for people that are struggling with loneliness and isolation. And we touched on the California Friendship Line and Community Connections programs, getting that information out for people that want to have conversations over the telephone. So that was our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Meredith, and very, very good meeting, by the way. And Meredith runs a great, she's a good chair. Let's hear from Housing and Transportation. Where is Sandy? I know Scott. I saw her here.
Good morning.
Thank you, Sandy.
This might be a little bit of a repeat since we just had OCTA, but for the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Report, once again, lower ridership due to COVID. And they also have greater expenses because they're buying all the personal protective equipment, but the riders still just pay $2 fee and you must be 60 years old. Area 1 and 2 includes Abizar, and area 2 includes AgeWell. The average cost per trip, not to the consumer, but to, I guess you'd say the non-emergency, is $43 to $53. The average trip length is 5 miles to 9 miles, and the average cost per trip then comes to $4.78 to $8.49. We had a report from the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. And they do have a flyer if you need this information. There's a $10,000 financial assistance program, and applications are starting February 1st. Eligible expenses would be help with unpaid rent or utility bills, and they must meet the income guidelines. We did not have a presentation as we worked on our long-term goals. And our goals, if the first goal is going to be that we're presenting is disabled person parking placards. Try to say that three times. We want to recalculate the outdated ratios of space, decrease the misuse and abuse of parking placards. And then our goal two is housing flexibility in Section 8 housing. There's issues with evictions, mobile homes, roommates, board and care, and the homeless. For new business, Tish Leon expressed concern regarding Section 8 housing in-home inspections. Pre-COVID, the inspections were conducted in person, and now due to COVID, they must be conducted virtually. So once again, with some of our seniors that are not technically savvy or lack computers or cell phones, they're having issues with having their in-home inspections. And the seniors, seniors that we're working with have been written letters threatening the loss of their homes if they do not comply with these new guidelines. So there's concern there. Also found out that Santa Ana has a new 300-unit, 55-year-old apartment, or 55-year-olders apartment complex that's being built, but the concern is it's not walkable to shopping or transportation. And then we had one individual that brought up a concern regarding Asian seniors that are struggling with racism, housing, and COVID restrictions. So the question was brought up, should we have a human relations report or presentation given to the committee? And that's my report.
Thank you, Shani. And that was another very, very good meeting, very interesting too. And also, by the way, Meredith's group, Health, also went over their goals also and expanded on what they wanted to look at. So I failed to mention that. Okay, my ledge group. Where do I have Evelyn, I think?
Okay.
Yeah, there's Evelyn. Go ahead, Evelyn. Take it away, kiddo.
Hi, Jean. Thank you. For the ledge meeting, we had a presentation this past week from John Pointer. One or two of you may know who he is. And he talked to us about the legislative process and when we can expect our next pile of assembly bills. So it's actually been delayed a little bit, and I think we are expecting it on February 19th, 15th or 19th. In our next meeting, we're going to be going over and sort of assigning follow-up staff for each one of those different bills. In March, Jean has kindly offered to bring us Assemblyman Chen to come and talk to us. We also have Senator Bates and Supervisor Bartlett among the first several months of speakers. We are looking forward to the meeting next month in March, where we can actually talk about our work, which is furthering the goals of both the housing, transportation, and the health and nutrition with legislative follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. Another really good job. And that's a really hot area right now, legislation. There's a lot of work bills being generated that covering the whole spectrum from transportation, housing, water. Yes, Tony.
Okay, and my report went in there, and it's regarding the bills that CSO has sponsored. We had so far four of the bills have been picked up. You should have that in your packet. Two of them are scheduled for a hearing, one in March 5th, the other one in April. The other two have been picked up no sending number has been allocated to them. And I'll follow up next month with.
Thank you, Tony. Question being asked, and I believe it was Cecilia. Cecilia, did you talk about the 340-unit apartment building in Santa Ana that had no walking access to stores or doctors, et cetera? Was that you who mentioned that?
No.
I think anyone out there? Who was that, Elaine?
I think that was Sandy who mentioned it.
Sandy, okay.
Yeah, I just mentioned it in my report.
Okay, Nalinda was asking about that, so.
Oh,
okay. Or Nalita, not Nalinda, Nalita Mendoza. So that's who that would be. And also, Jack got back to us. If you look at your chat there, he gave the date. The resumes have to be in by 5 p.m. on Friday, February 26th, for that open OCTA public membership position. I really, really encourage you guys to take a hard look at that. We need somebody good from the community, especially that somebody that represents the senior community. Okay, do we have anything from our techie computer IT folks? Dave, I think you're on that committee. Is that right? You're looking at me blank. No?
There has been no activity in that area.
Okay, I feel good then because I didn't miss a meeting. I thought I might have missed out. I think that's it for us, Elaine, unless I'm missing anybody.
No, that was great. Thank you, Gene. And wow, standing committee chairs. I'm amazed.
Let me tell you, I was blown away. These folks are on top of it. The energy that they generate out of their groups is very, very impressive. Of course, the groups are also high-level energy and very talented. We got some great committees.
Yeah, no, you're bringing great content to us, something that things that are very significant that we can work on. So thank you. Just to add on to the legislative report that Evelyn gave, today, February 19th, is the final day for bills to be submitted in Sacramento. So after this week, as things kind of sort out, we'll have a better idea of what legislation we'll be looking at. And also, this is another reason why you need to look at that master plan on aging, because they've identified 132 initiatives that should find its way to legislation just in the first 2 years. So what you see in the master plan on aging, we're going to see filtering down into legislation so that it actually happens. So that's why we all want to be familiar with that. But thank you, Gene, and thanks to the standing committee chairs.
Meredith has a question.
Meredith?
Yes. Yeah, as a new person here, I'm not sure how to navigate this. Our organization does have a bill that just got a number, and we're going to have the fact sheet soon, and it does impact Orange County housing and health. How do we kind of present that, or do we not, to SCAC?
Yeah, no. Why send that to Evelyn Velez, who's chair of the legislative committee, and then the legislative committee will take a look at that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? Did I miss any hands raised? Okay. On to consent items. Carissa, do we have any consent items?
We don't. We didn't receive any.
Okay, then on to item number 14, announcements by SCAC members. Are there any SCAC members who have an announcement to make? Tony Rodella. Tony, unmute yourself. Good.
You're muted again, Tony. You're too quick.
Just an FYI, my wife and I had our vaccine appointment wasn't until March 27th. However, watching the news 2 weeks ago, they announced that Aetna Altamed had an excess amount of vaccine in Anaheim. So next day, my wife and I showed up. We got our first shot and we're almost ready for the second shot. So people living in Anaheim, it's probably just a walk in. That's what we did. So. You know, maybe they can try it. People in Anaheim, maybe they can just walk in and try to get their vaccine shot.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Anyone else have an announcement? Okay, I don't see any other hands raised. Just to remind you that you will be receiving a post-meeting email and it will have information from Erica, a couple of things, one on workshop prep. Also, something that she and her staff have put together. And I want to give a shout out to Elizabeth and Layla on the, we've asked for a list of the senior collaboratives and all the different organizations that work with seniors in Orange County. Because I know, especially for our newer members, you hear these names being thrown around, but you don't know what they are, how they all fit together. So Erica and her staff have put together a list for us, and that will be going out in a post-meeting email and also the updated Senior Center liaison list. So I'd like to also thank our guests today, and especially thank Irene Martinez and Nancy Lee for joining us for this meeting. We do hope to see you again. And I'm going to take one last look to see if there's any final questions or comments. We do have our next meeting will be our SCAC workshop via Zoom. That will be starting at 9 a.m. So that meeting is starting a half hour earlier than usual because we have a lot that we want to take care of during the SCAC workshop. Look on your agenda for the upcoming standing committee meetings. They all have excellent programs. If you would like to attend, you are more than welcome to attend those meetings. They're all open to the public. So even if you're not on that standing committee, you can attend and hear the speaker. And I see Gene Hernandez has his hand up. Gene.
Yeah, real quick, Nalita would like the name of that apartment complex in Santa Ana, the 340 unit. So Sandy, if you have that or you recall who stated that, if you would get with her and let her know what that is, she'd like to look into it.
I don't have the name of it, but I think it was Tish Leon that said
you know,
that.
I think it was Tish. Nalita, do you have access to Tish still?
No.
Yes, I do. Actually, I will contact her because that concerns me. And I will, since I am the Santa Ana City Council, I want to look into that issue.
I figured that. Good job. Okay. And welcome to our committee, by the way. And also, Crystal, the mayor of Villa Park, thank you for joining us, too. We need more electeds here because that's really where the rubber meets the road. I mean, we can talk about it, but unless we get us to act on it, it's just talk.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. We got to take care of our seniors.
You bet. We're already there for some of us, trust me.
Well, and that's why we have these conversations, so we can bring information together and also learn from each other. So that's a, I'm glad you'll be looking into that, Nalita. Okay, anything else before we adjourn? Cecilia, is your hand up or is it up for real or just, I can't hear you. You're on mute. Okay, nothing else? Okay, so we are adjourned. I look forward to seeing you all on March 12th at 9 a.m. at 8:30 if you want to join us for coffee. Bye.